Hello, friends. Thank you for engaging with The Homily by Pastor Chilwell from Chapel Hill. I hope this message encourages you, challenges you, and moves you to go deeper in your faith and enrich how you love God and love your neighbor in your day-to-day life. Just a reminder, like the scriptures and gospels themselves, this homily was written for a particular community in a particular context of time and history. And yet, like our sacred texts, I hope that these words hold timeless truths about God's unconditional love and grace. We hope these words speak to you in a meaningful way.
The Holy Gospel according to John. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descending and remain is the one who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the chosen.'" The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following him, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" He said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He's back. By he, I mean John the Baptist. But this time he's back, not situated in the season of Advent. He's not shouting in the wilderness, causing a scene and yelling at the onlookers to prepare the way of the Lord. And this week, he's not even baptizing anyone. This time, we see what could be compared in college sports as a transfer portal. Some disciples switching teams. Is there any NIL money involved? I don't know. Probably not. So far in the season of Epiphany, we began traveling with foreigners following a star that leads to the Christ child. Going by another road, we are then led to a body of water. As God speaks and the Spirit descends and hovers, the identity of beloved is formed. New life emerges. Out of that new life, this morning, we get some call stories. The calling of the first disciples. The Gospel of John is different from the other synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John does tell some similar stories, and he never loses the plot thread of who Jesus is and the overall climactic build to Holy Week and the cross and to Easter morning. But he does use a lot of creative imagery when he shapes his Christology. It's a fancy word of who we understand the Christ to be. And that is why we read from the Gospel of John here in Epiphany, situated right here today. The Gospel of John is filled with references to light and awakening, seeing, looking, revelation. John's gospel doesn't have a traditional Christmas story. Rather, he chooses to go further back and starts with this cosmic call back to Genesis by starting with, "In the beginning was the Word, and with him all things came into being. In him was life and light to the people. The light shines in the darkness, and it did not overcome it. This Word became flesh, abided among us." In the Gospel of John, we don't see John the Baptist baptizing anyone. Rather, we hear from him describing Jesus' baptism and what he witnessed and experienced. He's witnessing and testifying the epiphany he had when he baptized Jesus. And then we get this, it's a strange and mysterious story of John and his disciples just kind of hanging out together in town. Where they are, I don't know. And they see Jesus in the wild twice. They're hanging out and I assume minding their own business, and Jesus comes walking by. John the Baptist is like, "You see that guy right there? Remember the one that I was talking about, who I baptized, and there was this voice and dove, and yeah, well, that's him. That's the chosen one." "What? You serious, John?" I'm sure they had lots and lots of questions. The next day, the same thing happens again. Jesus walks by. He's like, "There he is. That's the guy that John was talking about." John is like, "Yep, that's him. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God." The two of John's disciples start following Jesus. John's disciples switching teams seems kind of abrupt, and maybe like they betrayed or left him or broke up with him or whatever. Yet if John's students are paying attention in class, John has been talking about and calling for people to get ready for the chosen one. Why wouldn't they start following Jesus? There are a lot of titles and labels and Christology attached to Jesus. Just in these verses that we see today in our gospel reading, we hear of the Lamb of God, the Chosen One, Rabbi, Anointed, Messiah, Teacher. During the season of Epiphany and the Sundays that follow, we will build on this and we will see how Jesus fulfills these titles and how he lives and how he loves. But notice, Jesus doesn't say, "Yep, I'm him," and then explain once and for all the mysteries of God and what magic prayers to pray to reach enlightenment. Rather, the first words out of Jesus's mouth in the Gospel of John, question. What are you looking for? What a question, huh? This is a question we should ask and ponder and meditate and pray on each, every day. What are you looking for? What are you searching for? What are you hungry for? What are you longing for? I love it that the disciples also don't give an answer right away, like, the Messiah, that's why we're following you. Rather, they ask a question back. Remember, they are students of John the Baptist. Most likely, they've learned that there isn't a quick and easy answer to the important things of life. And so they ask, "Where are you staying? Where are you abiding?" Rabbi Jesus, in order to have a thoughtful answer of what you're looking for, they know that they need to spend some time with Jesus. So Jesus extends to them an invitation. So this morning, I hope that you'll hear that question and take it to heart. What are you looking for? Then, how are you spending time with Jesus, abiding with him, and looking and seeing where he abides, where he is staying? Then where is Jesus asking you to come? On this Sunday, in this season of Epiphany, we begin to see some call stories of how God calls people to come and learn, to come and see, to come and follow, and to learn from Rabbi Jesus, Teacher Jesus. Have a calling, or to search for a calling, is a pretty religious and spiritual and churchy word, and yet that is where we get our word vocation from. Voco in Latin means call or a call. In your work and life and vocation, where is God calling you? Where do you feel called? And the hope and prayer is that your gifts meet up with the world's needs. I don't have time this morning to go in depth of my own personal call story. I'd be happy to share a coffee or meal with you, to share with you my call story to seminary and what I'm doing with my life and how I've grown over the years. But there have been lots of people in my life who have invited me, come, see. To come and see the love and grace and mercy of God discovered in the person, life, death, the resurrection of Jesus. And youth directors and Sunday school teachers and pastors and friends and family who brought me to church, who are patient with me when I was a rowdy, couldn't sit still little William. And along the way, seminary professors and other colleagues and friends and people who I work with who have invited me over and over and over again to come and see who this Jesus is and how we can learn from him together. And there are so many call stories among us here and around us in our lives. When I think of call stories, I think of Mandy, our new church council vice president, who is hearing a call to go to seminary. I think of my friend Joshua, a member here at Holy Trinity who mostly worships online, who is also wrestling with a call to go to seminary or not. And there are call stories all around us that are not just wrestling whether to go to seminary or not. Perhaps God is calling you into the sciences to help make the world a better place, to understand it deeper. Perhaps God is calling you into social work to help our neighbors who are in our midst. Perhaps God is calling you into finance to seek economic prosperity and justice. Perhaps God is calling you to advocate work, to help speak up for those whose voices are silenced or drowned out amidst the noise of this world. And although these call stories and experience and discernment, through them, God is calling our community of faith to discern and use our gifts for a world hungry and longing for belonging, for safety, for grace. Indeed, there is a lot going on in our world right now. Along with you, I feel overwhelmed and scared and sometimes frozen by it all. And yet, as Isaiah calls us to, as we pay attention, we listen, there are still people in our midst and beyond these walls who invite us to come and see what God is up to in our world, at this table, at that font, and within our collective voices. I hope and pray that we can still love up close and have real and honest conversations in the relationships that are entrusted to us as we walk together as a community of faith. There are so many call stories around us. I hope that we can pay attention. I hope that we can listen. I hope that we can continue to share these with one another in our show and tell of what God is doing in our lives and where we see Jesus abiding today. Taking our lead from John and from those first disciples, let us continue to ask, what are you looking for? Where we see Jesus, to invite people to come and see. Body and blood, waters of grace, God's unconditional love and grace for all. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If there is anything that stood out for you, or if you have a question, or you just want to have a conversation, you are always free to reach out and contact us. And remember, you are not alone, and that you are loved with a love stronger than death.